Chapter 22. Mouse leapt into the air as the lead zombie flung itself at me and met it with an ugly sound of impact. The dog and the animate corpse dropped onto the stairs. The zombie swung an arm at Mouse, but the dog rolled, taking the blow on one slab of a shoulder, his snarl sharpening at the impact. The dog surged against the zombie's legs and got his teeth into the corpse's face. He shook his head violently while the zombie stumbled and reeled under the ferocity of the attack. The second zombie bypassed the struggling pair, reaching out for me. I barely had time to brandish my staff at the creature and snarl,
"For Zari!"
Unseen force struck the zombie like an ocean wave, flinging it back up the stairs and out of sight. Mouse let out a shrieking sound of pain, ripped his fangs once more at the zombie's face, and pushed away from it. The zombie's face had been crushed and torn until it was unrecognizable. Both eyes had been torn out, and the undead thing flailed around wildly, striking blindly with heavy sweeps of its arms. Mouse leaned heavily against me, one paw held lifted from the ground, snarling. Three more zombies were already most of the way down the stairs, and there was no time to do anything but try my staff again. I raised it, but the nearest zombie was faster than I had guessed, and he batted the wood out of my hand. It smacked against the concrete wall of the stairwell and rebounded onto the blinded zombie out of my reach. The zombie snatched at my arm, and I barely avoided it. The door opened at my back, and Thomas called,
"Down!"
I dropped to the ground and did my best to haul Mouse down with me. There was a roar of thunder, and the leading zombie's head vanished into a spray of ugly, rotten gore. The remainder of the being thrashed for a second and then fell drunkenly to one side, collapsing into immobility. Thomas stood in the doorway, dressed only in a pair of blue jeans. He held the sawed-off shotgun against his shoulder, and his eyes blazed with a cold silver fury. He worked the pump on the gun and fired it three times more, destroying or driving back my nearest attackers for a moment. Then he seized the collar of my duster and dragged me forcibly into the apartment. Mouse came with us, and Thomas slammed the door shut. "Get the locks," I told him. He started shoving the door's two heavy security bolts shut while I crawled to the door, laid my hands against it, and with a whisper of will, rearmed the wards that protected the apartment. The air hummed with a low buzz as the wards snapped back up into place. Silence fell over the apartment. "Okay," I said, panting. "That's it. Safe at home." I looked around the apartment and spotted Butters hovering near the fireplace, poker in hand. "You okay, man?"
"I guess so," Butters said.
He looked a little wild around the eyes.
"Are they gone?"
"If they aren't yet, they will be. We're safe."
"Are you sure?"
"Definitely," I said. "There's no way they're going to get in here." The words were hardly off my lips when there was a thunder crack of sound and a heavy thump that knocked scores of books off my bookshelves and sent us all staggering around like the cast of the original Star Trek.
"What was that?"
Butters screamed. "The wards," Thomas snapped. "No," I said. "I mean, come on. Walking right into those wards is suicide." There was another clap of thunder, and the apartment shook again. A flash of bright blue light bathed the outside of the boarding house and even reflected through the sunken windows near my apartment's ceiling. It was painfully bright.
"Can't commit suicide if you're already dead," Thomas said. "How many of those things were out there?"
I'm not sure," I said. "A lot?" Thomas swallowed, got the box of shells off the mantel, and started loading them into the shotgun.
"What happens if he just keeps throwing zombies at the wards?"
"I didn't build them to keep up a continuous discharge," I said. There was another roaring sound and another flash of light, but this time there was barely a tremor on the floor. "They're going to fade and collapse."
"How long?" Thomas asked.
There was a crackling buzz from outside, too slow this time to be heard only as a roar of noise. Blue-white light flickered dimly.
"Not long. Damn it."
"Oh, God," Butter said. "Oh, God! Oh, God! What happens when the wards are gone?"
I grunted. "The door is made of steel. It will take them some time to get through it. And after that, there's the threshold. That should stop them, or at least slow them down." I raked my fingers over my hair.
We've got to come up with something, fast. What about the extra defenses? Thomas asked. They're standing right outside, I said. Hence the need for extra defenses, Thomas snapped. He pumped around into the shotgun's chamber and slipped another into the extra slot in its clip. Those defenses are meant to stop a magical assault, I said, not physical entry.
Will they keep the zombies out? Butters asked.
Yes, but they'll also keep us in.
What's so bad about that?
Butters asked. Nothing, I said, until Gravain sets the building on fire. Once they go up, I can't take them down again. We'll be trapped. I ground my teeth. We've got to get out of here.
But the zombies are out there,
Butters said. I'm not the only one who lives here, I said. If he burns down the house to get to me, people will die. Thomas, get dressed and get your shoes on. Butters, there's a ladder under that Navajo rug there. I want you to take a candle and go down it. There's a black nylon backpack on a table and a white skull on a wooden shelf. Put the skull in the backpack and bring it to me.
What?
Butters said.
Do it,
I snapped. Butters scurried over to the Navajo rug, found the trapdoor down to my lab, and grabbed a candle. He disappeared down the ladder. Thomas put the shotgun down and opened his trunk. It didn't take him long to get dressed in socks, black combat boots, a white t-shirt, a black leather jacket. Maybe it was part of his supernatural sex vampire powers, dressing quickly for a hasty getaway. You see, he said while he dressed, about Butters. Shut up, Thomas, I said. What's the plan? He said. I limped over to the phone and put it to my ear. Nothing. They cut the phone. We can't call for help, Thomas said. Right. Only thing we can do is smash our way out to the car. Thomas nodded his head with a jerk. How you want to do it? What do you think? Big old wall of fire would do it. Cover our left flank and keep the bad guys off of us. I'll take the right flank and shoot anything that moves.